We're going to go on a little short trip in 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bible with you, come to 1 Corinthians with me. And while you're looking for that, I want to remind you that the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be obviously in the fall, but Passover is in the spring. Anybody notice that the calendar kind of swung over into spring?
It did.
Yeah, even if the weatherman is probably still kind of wiggling a little bit with winter. And the 14th on through, we will be having guests. I did hear from Doug, and he will be coming, and so with Ron. So be prepared for some mighty signs and wonders that he's preparing for this feast. And prepare your hearts. Amen? 1 Corinthians. The two verses that we're going to hit first.
Which chapter?
Chapter 1. We don't want to wrinkle the rest. Chapter 1. Verse 27 says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." How many of you call yourself wise? I pray not too many. He also looked at the weak. And he wants to use those that are weak. So if you qualify, would you raise your hand on those two points? Look around. Isn't it incredible? Uh-huh. Verse 28, "He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are." That's another mouthful. Notice, he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Why is it that he doesn't want you and me to boast? I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. Why is it that he pushes those buttons? Because he wants those that are ready to be humbling themselves. And no one will be able to say, it is because I did this that I did that. He's not looking for you and me to be pulling ourselves up by our own energy. Verse 30. "It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus." So it's not because of what you did. Not how smart you are, how wise you are. "Who has become for us wisdom from God." So the anointed Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. "That is our righteousness and holiness and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord." So it gives you a whole different outlook as to why he would choose you and me. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, he says, "On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty." Who did the choosing?
Lord.
Okay. Did he choose you? Yeah. Why? Because you're special? Or because you are lowly and different and weak? I should have heard an amen there.
Amen.
John 15, verse 16. John 15, verse 16 is quite important because it's the Lord himself saying, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." Now, if you look at that and you look at Peter and you say, "Oh my God, look at the fruit he produced." What kind of fruit did he expect from Peter? Denial? Betrayal? And he still chose him. See, sometimes the accuser gives us all these lies. And he says, oh, but if you were like so-and-so, always laying on the breast of the Lord, like John, loved and beloved, and I feel like a mess because I keep making a mess. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. What have we asked for? We've asked for healing this morning. We've asked for direction. We've asked for counsel and comfort. When we went to the table, we asked for resurrection. Resurrection out of the old to come into the new. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Here, there's a man that wants to just relax and be a good Christian. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. And he's heading him towards Paul, of all people. He's not called Paul at the time, he's called Saul. And watch again. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. A murderer. How many have ever had a little bit of murder in their hearts? Like to eliminate a few people, right? Yeah, we all did. All right? Boy, that SOB, I'll fix them because, boy, I've got a solution that'll free me from all this pain. Amen. Thank you. Paul had that same problem. But Ananias gets a word from the Lord. Would you go pray for that jerk? That murderer, that killer, that Antichrist. Yes, Lord. This is taking me back quite a few years. Probably about 15 or 20. Somewhere's in there. I'm driving into Grace, going into my office. And the Holy Spirit says to me, would you pray for Anton LaVey? And I said, Lord, wait a minute. Anton LaVey happens to be the high priest for the devil. So, I don't want to pray for him. I just don't feel like it's a good idea for today.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? He wrote the Satanic Bible. You want me to pray for him? Well, did he need it? Was I in the mood?
No.
Did I feel like Jonah? I wanted to go the other way. I really did. I wanted to go the other way. I said, God, why would I didn't want to. Hear me. I did not want to. My want to was on strike.
Amen.
That's not what he asked.
Yeah. But you know what? I finally gave in. I said, okay, God. Okay. But I'll pray in the spirit because I don't know what to pray. He said, that's more than enough. So I prayed in the Holy Ghost all the way to the office. And I still got this anger in me. Don't want to do this. Don't feel like it. Don't feel right. Emotions are having a fit. About 2.5 weeks later, I heard the news. Anton LaVey's son was born again in California. And from what I understand, he ministered to his father before his father died. Why didn't I feel like praying for him? I didn't think he deserved to go to heaven at all. It's not about my emotions. It's about obedience to him so that we can be and do what he's called us to do. It's not what feels good that's going to get you into heaven. It's what Jesus already did. I can just hear Ananias on the way over to see Paul. Tell me what you think was in his brain. Are you sure, Lord? You're sure he's not going to throw me into jail? Kill me, yes. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name. Notice it's carry his name, carry his nature. Was Paul of that nature at that time? No. Paul was angry, bitter. But to carry my nature before the Gentiles and their kings, before the people of Israel. See, I could be totally wrong when I make this comment, but I believe this church was chosen to do a work for God that is not designed after the pattern of other churches. Amen. We are to be lovers of those that are broken. We are broken ourselves, but we still reach out and we still push. Because if it doesn't make any sense, then possibly you could be doing God's perfect plan. When it doesn't make any sense in your brain and you do it anyway, you could be hitting the target and making God the object of your prayer and the victory into the hearts of those that are broken, that have no hope. First Corinthians 1:29 again. I want to take you back. 29 says very, very clearly, so that no one may boast before him. Those who have a plan to say, I brought this one to salvation, what are they doing? They're boasting sometimes and they haven't got a clue. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just telling you that's part of the deal. It is not all about what you have done for him. It's what he has done for us. Amen. Now I want you to go back to verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, notice it's being saved. It is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, and I will frustrate. For those who are intelligent, what do you got coming ahead of you? Frustration. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jew and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Verse 26, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So when you think you got it all put together, you better think again. Amen. It's His word that I'm giving you. And I was questioning the Lord this morning. You sure you want me to go there? I've been here before, Lord. He said, yes, but there's a new heart in them today. A heart ready to receive that they are on target. In the midst of their trial, I am with them. And I will baffle the wise through them. Amen. I will baffle the wise through them. Why would He baffle the wise through you and me? Maybe it's because we don't make sense to the natural realm. Have you ever tried to convince somebody that heaven is real when they don't want to hear it? Yet when they're dying, they're full of questions. Why am I saying this to you? It's because I believe, in all fairness to each and every one of you, He chose instruments like me and you to baffle the wise. He chose us as a church to do a work that He wants to do in Chicopee and in New England. You say, all of New England? Why not? You see, I shared with you about Pensacola a week and a half ago, I believe. When Pensacola was known as the abortion capital of America and the world. When John Kilpatrick got a word from the Lord that they needed to start interceding and to really pray diligently for the salvation of that city, they obeyed. 2.5 years of prayer, plus crying out, whatever God told them to do, they did in diligence. And when salvation broke out 5 years later, the name of the city got transformed. That's the nature of the city. It was no longer the capital of the abortions. It was now the capital of revival throughout the United States of America. I shared with you about Steve Hill going home to be with the Lord at 60 years old. Why is he there? Because he's a seed in the ground. What happens when you put a seed in the ground? It's going to come up. It's going to produce 30, 60, 90, and 100 fold. Why are we laying down some people? Because God has a plan. And I'm about to hit you square in the eyes, so close your eyes right now. God gave me a dream this past week, a week and a half ago. And in the dream, He showed me the inside of a Catholic church. He showed me a man that jumped from the base floor all the way up into the balcony onto the organ area. And when I woke up, I heard St. Joseph's. Didn't know where St. Joseph's was. Cried out to the Lord, no answers. Several days later, the Lord said, now call Linda. So I called Linda. Hope that's not the reason why she fell. But in all fairness, we had a conversation, and she says, yeah, Kim, she says, it's down in the north, south end of Springfield, I think. So off I went. 2 days later, the anointing was there. I knew I needed to go. I went zigzagging back and forth in through the south end, and come to find out there's one ways and one ways and one ways. And when I hit Howard Street, I knew I was on the right place, but there's no church. I learned later, the church has been raised. But there was a St. Joseph there. So now I'm kind of upset because I've got all kinds of, Lord, I don't know what you want. I don't have a clue. What is it that you want? Why are we in Chicopee and you're sending me to the South End? I learned that it was a French parish. I learned that it was a French priest who loved the Lord, who built all kinds of churches in the area and borrowed the money. Believe it or not, from where? Massachusetts. I mean, you know, it don't make sense. What baffles this wise brain of mine sometimes? I went one step further. Asked a few questions. Got a little more info. Got back on the phone with Linda and spilled a few more beans. I said, Linda, we need to pray. I'm in the car. And now the anointing's all over the car. And I know she's feeling the anointing. And we're both in the presence of the Lord and our tongues are going wild. And all of a sudden she says, guess what? Guess what? I said, what? She said, the cross exploded. Where there's an explosion, it goes where? North, south, east, and west, and everywhere in between. I said, God, the church is gone. He says, but their prayers are not. Those are your ancestors. Okay, God. All right. Then I go to this incredible funeral last week on Tuesday morning. And across the altar, written in perfect French, my Lord and my God, mon Seigneur et mon Dieu. And I was there early to intercede for this family. I wasn't sitting down in the spirit. I was standing in the spirit, crying out for that parish just down the street from here. But the closing moment that I had was with your stepdad, Oscar. Did you hear about it? Well, here goes the news. I spoke to Ted, had a word, and I got to pray for him. And we did. I did lay hands on him and prayed. As I'm praying for him, in comes his stepfather, and he's a little man like my dad was. He steps close to me, and the Holy Spirit said, you talk in French to him. So I began to bless him in French. And of course, he has an ear problem, so the Lord said, repeat it again, and this time a little louder. Guess what I got? I got a hug from your stepfather. He was so full of joy because that deaf spirit was totally ruined. And he says to me, I haven't heard good French like that in so long. And he's literally jumping and he gives me a hug with both arms. Why am I saying all this? Because I believe God has a plan that the people from the Canadian provinces that moved into this area prayed prayers of salvation for this region. You say, well, there was a lot of other churches. I don't care. That was not their background. It was mine. God chose me to baffle the wise. Try it on with your neighbor. Say, God chose me to baffle the wise. That could include you. So it's up to the Lord to confirm my prime ministry. It just might be to some Frenchman. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Cote. Yeah, I can pick on him because I knew his grandfather before I knew him. Why? Because they were French. They came to our store, bought a bedroom set. The rest is history. How do I know him? Because of his wife. How do I know her? Because of her French background. Why? Because now the church where we were married and they were married is now being revitalized under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. What was St. Anne's Parish, which was known as the French Parish of Palmer, is now being transformed by a Holy Ghost church. They're cleaning it out. It's been almost 4 years or going on five. I think it's 4 years in November that it was closed. And the church called Crossways is now going to be revitalizing it and setting it back up to give glory to Jesus. And that is an answer to prayer for the French people. Are there more French people and more Irish people and whatever? It doesn't matter what the tag is. What matters is God is using the foolish too. Close your eyes one more time. Say, Lord Jesus, don't stop educating me. Keep me humble. Keep me moving forward so that I can complete the mission you have given to me. Amen.